Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. You guys enjoying time with your family and getting out and enjoying this nice warm weather? Getting to the lake, any of that? Coughing? Oh, okay. Well, speaking of Memorial Day, I'd like to just take a moment, if we could, and just pause in a moment of silence and prayer for our fallen heroes. Amazing God, we know that just being able to come here and gather as a body of believers and to honor you and to worship you and to hear about you and to pray to you and to share in all these things is a freedom, and it's a privilege. And it's a freedom that many have given their lives for us to be able to be awarded. So God, I pray that you would just help us to be mindful and reminded to never take it for granted. We lift up those families, Lord, who have suffered loss, many who are still with us, and many who are even in this room. Touch their hearts. And God, I pray that you speak through me this morning, that your words be told, that I be simply a vessel for your spirit in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, we take this time to go ahead and dismiss our kids up to Revolution Kids Church. Our scripture reading this morning is going to be coming out of Luke's gospel, but we will be making some references to the other gospels relative to the same story. We're going to be taking a look at a familiar story, the miracle of Jesus feeding the multitudes. A little trivia for you, this is the only miracle that is included in all the gospels. So we're going to be taking some snippets from the other biblical accounts as well, but we're going to read from Luke, if that's okay.
Sure.
All right, here we go. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds returned, learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and the countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so, and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. So we are wrapping up the Abundance teaching series. This is week 4, this teaching series about this very beautiful, powerful, and spiritual thing that we know as generosity and how it relates to this life of abundance that Jesus promised that he would provide for us. And I don't know about you, but this teaching series has been good for me. It's really stretched me. It's challenged me and certainly has convicted me in a lot of ways. And I think it's good for us to return to the scriptures when it comes to matters of daily living, and it certainly qualifies as that, because when you think about it, we do not live in a world where the cultural norm is a spirit of generosity, do we?
No.
Thank you, Dale. We don't. In fact, it's usually every man for himself, you know, looking out for number one type of attitude. So By staying grounded in scriptures and being open to these teaching types of teachings, and it prevents conformity. Okay, it just keeps us grounded and just keeps us on the right path. So, I've really enjoyed it. I did want to point out that in none of the weeks over this month of this teaching series on generosity has the worship team ever played the song "Jesus Paid It All." That's never happened. Nobody got that. Okay, see. So the title of this morning's teaching is called The Miracle of Multiplication. Of course, multiplication is a mathematical principle. One of life's little ironies. As an engineer, somebody that's studied engineering, mathematics is always my weakest subject. It seems like of all the grades, that was always the one that was the lowest. So I've struggled with math most of my whole life. So it is what it is, I guess. But it seems like mathematics is constantly working against me anyway. I mean, the principle of subtraction is always seems to be getting applied to my bank account in my free time. And the principles of addition is always getting applied to my birthdays and my bathroom scale. But what are you going to do? But I think we would all agree when we talk about multiplication, you know, as far as basic math principles, multiplication is one of the more powerful principles that we could apply. Now, we learned about multiplication early on in life in grade school, usually second or third grade. Most of you remember memorizing the times tables, right? Remember the flashcards, having to memorize those. Now, I don't know anything about Common Core math. Is anybody in here a teacher? Do you teach Common Core math?
Elementary.
Okay. I don't know how they teach math these days. I don't really have any information to compare a Common Core math to the way that we learn math, but that's the way I remember doing multiplication, was memorization. And when you think about multiplication, it probably is the most powerful of all of the principles. And to kind of illustrate that, I'll just ask you a question. This is an exercise you've probably heard before, but just to kind of do the math in your head, but we won't take time for it here this morning. I'll just ask you, if I gave you a choice between $1 million cash and a penny doubled every day for 30 days, which is the better choice? Yeah, if you've ever done the math, then you will know that a penny doubled every day will get you a much greater reward financially. So multiplication is a powerful thing. And when you couple the power of multiplication with the power of God, who says that he is going to multiply our generosity, then you've got a very beautiful thing indeed. So that's where we're heading this morning. Before we can dive into our text, we have to do a little math ourselves, because I want to really make sure that we paint this picture properly. Now, in our text, the Gospel of Luke tells us that there were about 5,000 men. So let's talk numbers. The way they did head counts back in the ancient world is they counted the men. They assumed that by counting the men, they were counting the families. So they didn't count women and children. They counted, but they only counted the men as part of the total package. I'm not saying it's the right way of doing things. I'm just saying that's the way it was. And just to kind of validate that, if you look in Matthew's gospel, we actually see where the author is pointing out it was 5,000 men besides the women and children. So when they counted the men, okay, they were just assuming that there were families there. So we really don't know what the exact number is. We'll probably never know. We can ask Jesus one day, I guess. But if you take a little historical assumption with the story, we can assume that probably at least half of the men were married. It's probably more than that, right? Because men got married at a much younger age back in those days. But just to be a little conservative, we'll say about half the men were married, which meant that there were about 2,500 women there that were married to these men, okay? Now, being conservative still, let's just assume that there was at least one child per family. There's probably more children. Could have been zero kids. We really don't know. That's why we're just going to use the law of averages here. But knowing what we know about modern technology and the lack of technology in the sense of family planning, if you're tracking with me, they probably had more than one kid. Just saying. But we'll just keep it a nice round number. We got 2,500 wives, 2,500 kids, another 5,000 added to the initial 5,000. How much? All right, there you go. Everybody's a math wizard. Math lesson over. Now, to put this in perspective, if you take those 10,000 people and stick them into Freedom Hall, okay, this is about the amount of seats that would be filled. See, I don't know if you can make the red line out, but all of the bottom section, all the yellow section, the red section, and the blue section would be seated, and then a portion of the upper decks. It would look a lot like probably Freedom Hall and Denny Crumb's last season of coaching. Not completely full, but still a lot of people. The point is, there was just a lot of stinking people there, okay? Multitudes in Greek means a lot of people. So imagine you're in this group. Okay, you've heard about Jesus. You were a little curious, so you sought him out. You heard he was Messiah. You heard he had healing power. You heard he was a great teacher. Okay, and you're sitting around, and he's going on and on and on. He'll stop, and he'll heal, and he'll teach. He'll heal, and he'll teach. And it goes way on into the day, that the text tells us. So you start to get a little hungry. In fact, everybody there is getting hungry. And the disciples are getting hungry. And they decide, that, well, you know, maybe it's time to kind of shut this thing down. So they actually go to Jesus, and they're like, maybe we should send the people home because they're getting hungry. Now, Jesus, being the good shepherd that he is, he's not done teaching. And he knows that if he sends people home to eat, they're not coming back. I mean, imagine if Brian taught until 12:15 and the Spirit got a hold of him and he said, you know what, I think I got more to teach this morning. Why don't you guys go get brunch and come back in an hour and let's teach some more? You guys ain't coming back. That ain't ever going to happen. Okay, that's sweet. And then this next part is my favorite part, because to me it just highlights Jesus' sense of humor. Hey, I mean, the people are hungry, and Jesus is like, so feed them. 10,000 people. Jesus knows they ain't got no food. They've been living on the generosity of others for the last 3 years. All of them has been traveling around together. They don't carry food. They don't have boxed lunches from Jimmy John's for 10,000 people just available to pass out. So he asked them, so how much food do we have? And then this little boy shows up. Now, we have to pull this from John's gospel, so I'm pulling from different biblical accounts, so kind of follow with me here. And we see that the fish and the bread came from a little boy. And he hands it over to them. And this is where the miracle starts. Now, I love this part of the story because this little boy was written into it because of his generosity. Because of his generosity, God wrote him into his story. And I think that's true for us. When we are generous, God will write us into his story. We see other examples of this in Scripture as well. You probably remember Palm Sunday, we read this a few weeks ago. Jesus rode into town on a donkey. Everybody remembers that, right? Well, prior to Jesus getting on the donkey and riding into the town and the palm leaves and the shouts of Hosannas, Jesus gave instructions. He told the disciples, go to this place. We don't know what place. It doesn't really tell us. And tell them, whoever they are, we don't really know, that the Lord needs a donkey and a colt. So whoever this person was provided the donkey in the coat generously, out of generosity. And because of that, Jesus was able to ride in and fulfill messianic prophecies. And everybody was shouting out Hosanna. And God multiplied that generosity with these shouts of Hosanna that have echoed throughout the last 2,000 years. Because that person chose to be generous. Or maybe you've heard of this person named Joseph of Arimathea. If you remember Joseph, he was the one that gave Jesus the tomb that he was buried in. And we don't really know much about Joseph other than the Gospels tell us that he was a silent follower of Jesus. But when Jesus was crucified, Joseph stepped up and he generously gave his very own burial site to Jesus to be buried in. He didn't know the magnitude of his generosity. He didn't know that it was going to be used for more than just someone being buried. But imagine what Easter Sunday would be without the empty tomb. See, God multiplied the generosity of Joseph into the resurrection story that we share, not just every Easter, but hopefully every Sunday in between, which is a core part of our faith. So you see, when we are generous, God writes us into the story. And there are many more examples. Obviously, we don't have time to touch on all of them. And we can take from our text this morning two basic principles of multiplication. So here comes some math. Number one, our resources must first be blessed by God. Now, we see evidence of this in verse 16. When Jesus, he takes the loaves and the fish, and he gives thanks when he breaks them. All right, and then he gives them to the disciples. So his blessings must first be upon the generous offering. And then the second principle of multiplication is only what is given away can be multiplied. Now, the disciples were given the food to distribute. Okay, we see this later in the text, and Jesus says, or the text says that he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. But it wasn't until they began to hand it out that the miracle happened. Okay? Now, I know this is counterintuitive to how we think, because we're kind of a bird in hand type of culture. Okay? We think that we need God to bless us first so that we can become generous. But the kingdom works differently than that, and that we have to first give it up to him before it can be multiplied. Now, Brian talked a little bit last week about first fruits and giving God all that he deserves first. So we see here that the disciples had to be willing to give away so that it could multiply. So we read in verse 17, they all ate and were satisfied. Now imagine if the little boy had decided to just take it upon himself to take his food and give it to the multitudes. 2 fish and 5 loaves, he probably wouldn't have got very far. But by going through the hands of the master and allowing God to multiply the offering, then the miracle occurred. As I was reading through this and prepping for this teaching, it brought back this powerful example, a story in my own life. When Trish and I had first gotten married, early in our marriage, we were just kind of learning this whole church thing out. And we were going to this little country church in West Texas, south of Abilene. And we were just kind of getting started with being obedient and tithing. So we were working through that. So we came up with a number. We sat home one day and did the math. So, okay, we want to start doing this. So that worked for about 6 months. And I was on the job site. At that time, I was an electrician, and there was somebody that was working under me. I was a job foreman at the time, and his name was Chad. Now, Chad was a young man. He was 23 years old. He had 3 kids. He got married at an early age. Him and his wife, they had a kid real young, and they had 2 more after that, and he was trying his best to make ends meet. So he was working his butt off. He was putting in 40 to 50 hours with us. He was working nights at the Red Lobster. And he was working weekends helping a moving crew, and his wife was staying home with the kids, and he was doing all that he could for his age and his experience and his education to provide for his family. And I remember we were sitting eating lunch one day, just sitting on top of buckets, and he was just about to break down, and it just melted my heart when he got to telling the story, because this was right before Christmas, that he didn't know how him and his wife were even going to be able to afford to provide gifts for their kids. And I don't know what it was. Something happened in that moment. I guess it was some kind of revelation. A divine epiphany occurred in me. And I went home and I told my wife about it. I said, I think God is telling us that we need to help them out. Maybe, because we weren't exactly crushing it financially at the time either. Maybe what we should do is, instead of tithing this week, we'll take that money and we'll go buy gifts for their family. And we just won't tell them where it came from. So she's like, okay, we can do that. So we agreed to that. We went to bed. And I woke up the next morning, went to work, never thought anything else about it. And I get a call from my wife later the day. And she said, hey, I called Price, our pastor, and I told him what we decided to do. My wife called our pastor to tell our pastor that we decided we weren't tithing because we found somebody else that deserved the money more. But she was right. She was wise in doing this. And I'll tell you why. Because here's how the conversation ended up going. Price told her, I can appreciate that you have a love and a desire to help this family out. And God loves you for that. But I want to encourage you this week, if you would, go ahead and tithe like you normally would. And let the church take care of this family. He said, tell Daryl to get me his contact information. Well, He worked under me, so I had access to his info, so that wasn't a big deal. So I got all that to Price. And about a week before Christmas, Chad and his family got their electric bill paid for, they got their gas bill paid for, they got their water bill paid for, they were given a gift card. I can't remember what the total amount was that this family received that year for Christmas. But I do know it was far greater than about 3 times worth what we were planning on giving in the first place. And some seeds were planted there. A call was made, and it was Price. He didn't tell him who he was, who he was with. All he said was, I know that you're working hard and you're trying to provide for your family, but sometimes everybody needs a little help. I just wanted you to know that God loves you, and you should be expecting something in the mail, and he did. And some seeds were planted. I wish I could tell you that Chad started going to church right away. I wish I could tell you that he turned his life around and surrendered his life to God and went and joined the ministry and went on and became a mission. I wish I could tell you some happy ending to the story, but the truth is I really don't know what happened. But I do know that God was at work in that moment, and a seed was planted. And I have no doubt that that seed was multiplied. When we, from time to time here at Revolution, someone will formally express an interest in becoming a part of our community. And when that happens, Brian, in some capacity or some way or another, will ask these five questions. Will you give? Will you serve? Will you worship? Will you invite? And will you study or will you join a renovation group? Now, whether or not you realize this or not, all five of these questions are rooted in a spirit of generosity. That's what this community has always been about. Okay, the first one's kind of obvious. Will you give? You give out of generosity, right? Will you serve? Well, you're being generous. You're just being more generous with your time and your energy and your resources. When you worship, you're being generous with your heart. As an offering of praise, you're coming and taking part in what's going on here, which means you're also being generous with your Sunday morning. And I know that's tough sometimes for some of us, right? But we're being generous when we worship. And when we invite, we're being generous with our shared experience. And if something happens here that is an impact to us, that has a positive influence on our life, when we invite someone to come and experience this, then we're saying, hey, this is too good for me to keep to myself. I want to share this with you. That is an act of generosity. But when you invite, you're also being generous with your reputation or your standing, because a lot of times what keeps people from wanting to invite others to church is they're worried about what they might think of them. And then the last one, will you join a renovation group? When you agree to join a renovation group, you're agreeing to be generous with your time because you're making a commitment. You agree to being generous with your privacy, and in some cases, your home. But if we believe that what we are doing when we join these renovation group communities is sharing life together, if you'll pardon the cliche, but I truly believe that's what's happening, then you're being generous with your life. This is who we are. These are our core values. Everything that this community was built on is based on a spirit and heart of generosity. And these questions are a roadmap that makes up our DNA here in this community. And they require the sacrifice and the generosity of all of us here in one way or another. If you think about our core values and who we are, if this is who we are at our core, and it's that common thread that binds us together, and you partner that with the power of God's multiplication, then that, my friends, is a true definition of common core math. I want to show you one last thing before Micah's going to come up and say a few words to us. This is called a chalice. You see examples of these on our communion table, and this is called a paten. And I don't know if you noticed this or not. This was a gift to me. It was given to me a couple weeks ago when I graduated from my seminary. Somebody made this, and they weren't a part of our community, but it's obviously very green. And in the center of the paten is a triquetra. And of course, I was humbled by the gift, and I later found out that this person does this every year for the graduates. This is her ministry and her way of giving back. This is an example of this person's generosity. And as I sit and I looked and I pondered and I reflected on the last 9.5 years since I started this crazy journey, I began to think about all of the people that have been there and generously invested in me. All the people that donated financially to pay for the scholarships that helped fund to get me through. Everybody that's ever prayed. All the mentors that's ever taken the time to stop and ask me how things are going or to have theological discussions. Even the people that were part of my life early on, long before I even felt the calling to attend, were planting seeds generously. And I'm telling you this not out of vanity. But I'm telling you this because I've experienced and I have been the recipient of how God can multiply the generosity of others. And I'm confident, because he already has, that in so many ways he's going to continue to multiply that generation through this ministry. And I believe he'll do the same thing for you. In fact, I bet if you pondered for a moment, you can probably think of some ways that you've been touched through the generosity of others. Let's think about that for a minute.
So, these five questions. Can you read those questions and answer them with a satisfied heart? Any yeses? Great. Can we talk after service so that you can help me work out a plan for my personal improvement? Because when I look at those questions and think of them honestly, it gets a little warm in here. So maybe somebody else got warm, feels a little convicted. Okay, you're not alone. We are not meant to stay comfortable sitting in these seats. We are meant to get to the edge of our comfort zone and then step out of it. And I have a story to share about some folks that have done that. Once upon a time, there was a boy. And he met this smoking hot girl who introduced him to this abundant relationship with God. And one day, that boy eventually heard a call from God. And then eventually became obedient to God's will for his own life. And of course, that boy is Brian, that we know and love today. And that smoking hot girl, well, he's a really lucky man. But the story didn't stop there. The story continues with Brian stepping out of his comfort zone and planting a church. Anybody remember this place? So 75 members of an already established church were generous enough with their faith to step out into the unknown and go with Brian to help grow Revolution. They were generous, and God wrote them into all of our stories. They were generous with their time, scraping things, painting things, holding sleeping babies. I even heard of some raccoon chasing. They were generous with their money. They were generous with their talents, whether that be leading worship or mixing something in a bucket. They were generous with inviting. I heard they made a list of people that they could invite. And guess what? It worked. Within the first month, Revolution grew by more than 30%. They were generous with their attendance. They showed up. and made showing up a priority. So they grew, and they grew into what we have today. Now think about it. How is that generosity and that obedience of those 75 people impacted your life today? I can honestly say I don't know where I would be without it. God has multiplied their generous offerings of time, money, talents, inviting, and their worship into this abundant revolution. So, I have some challenges for us today. Step out of your comfort zone and invite that person, and then invite the next person, and then the next person. Engage in worship more fully than you've ever done before. Not just show up to check a box, but actually let yourself become vulnerable and open to feeling the Holy Spirit. I was once in this seat back here, closed up, hurting. All I could do was cry. Finally, I opened up. Remember Amy talking about the refiner's fire? It's not comfortable, but it's worth it. And remember, we don't just worship here on Sundays. We have some worship on Wednesday evenings too. We also have dinner at 6:30. And then we have worship at 7:15. You're all welcome. And if you want to see some real life examples of God's abundant blessings, we've got them, and we'd love to share them with you. My next one, stop finding excuses to not join a house group. They're important. We don't do Sunday school here, but instead we dig deeper into our personal relationship with God inside of that community of our house groups. And I can say without a doubt that God placed me in the perfect one, and those folks have had a major role in me becoming the person that I am today. Give to the church. Money is important. Evaluate your giving. Are you giving out of sacrifice or out of generosity? Could it be more? Could it be any? And will you serve? Sign up to serve somewhere. We have so many ways here to serve. Vacation Bible School is coming up. You can always sign up to serve dinner at CR, Wednesday nights, 6:30, worship at 7:15. We've got plenty of chairs. You all can come. Serving communion. Helping with the hospitality team. You name it. You want to serve? Find somebody. We can help you. So I leave you with this question. What are we, as the revolution now, offering to God? And how are we expecting him to multiply those offerings? Are we being generous and obedient enough with all of these things to expect abundant blessings in the future? Or could we do better? Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you. I thank you for allowing these chairs to be comfortable to sit in, but not always comfortable to stay sitting in. And I thank you for giving us this place to do your work. and to show your love. And I just pray that each and every one of us will remember that we have what we have because of the generosity and obedience of others, and that we will continue to let that grow into the future so that Revolution can continue to do your will and your work. I thank you for all these blessings, God, and I thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus.
Just keep praying. God, we give you praise this morning for the spirit of generosity that is a gift from you, because you are the source of all that is good. So anything that we possess comes from you. And God, I pray that you will continue to give us the courage to walk out of this place this morning to live a life that is generous. That we might be the generous ambassadors to your kingdom that you have called us to be. We ask all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.